Now, in Legal Talk today, I want to revisit a concept we did speak about a few years ago that I really think is worth emphasizing. I'm talking about the concept of mediation as an alternative to potentially drawn out and very expensive and often hostile litigation, a battle in court. And today, specifically, we want to talk about the idea of trauma-informed mediation. With me in studio are two lawyers from a local nonprofit that specializes in this field. It's called Dignified Dispute Resolution. And it's my great pleasure to welcome Karen Boyter and Eugene Opperman to the studio. Thank you so much for coming in today. Welcome.
Thank you, Papa.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Karen, I think we must start with a basic explanation to listeners who don't know of what mediation actually entails.
Sure. So there's been a lot of talk recently over the last few years about mediation being used as an alternative form of dispute resolution. And unfortunately, not enough is being done to promote mediation as an alternate to litigation. And this is largely due to a lack of understanding of what mediation actually entails. Mm. So in its simplest sense, mediation is a process whereby a neutral third party, who's called the mediator, kind of facilitates communication between the disputing parties to help the parties reach a mutually agreeable resolution. It's a constructive way to manage conflict outside of court. As you said, court is a very hostile environment. Mm. Mediation is the opposite. And it aims to foster understanding and collaboration between the parties. Mediation, I think the most important thing to remember, mediation is voluntary and it's confidential. So what it means essentially is that if you are having a dispute with somebody, both of you have to agree to mediate, first of all, and then both of you agree who the mediator will be. So if the two of you can't agree to who the mediator is, you've got a problem already. So you have to agree who the mediator is. So that's the voluntary nature of it. And then confidentiality means that whatever is discussed during the mediation doesn't go outside of that room. It stays within that room. So, and I think for me, especially as a mediator, one of the most fundamental principles is that the parties themselves remain in control of the outcome. Mm. Litigation is like a legal battlefield. You go in and there's a winner and a loser, and a judge or a magistrate makes a decision on your behalf. With mediation, the parties themselves control the outcome. So they're either going to agree or they're going to disagree. And they're either going to come to a resolution or not, but they remain in control of that process.
So quite empowering if you can get it right. Obviously, there are going to be situations, I'd imagine, where the parties are so far apart that they won't be able to get to an agreement through mediation and might have to move on to litigation. But Karen, quite an empowering process for somebody to say, well, I get to make the decision as to whether I accept this proposal or not.
Correct. That's the thing, because litigation takes the power out of your hands and places the power in a single person, a judge or a magistrate, who doesn't know you, doesn't know your interests, doesn't know how you can benefit from whatever the dispute is and what you stand to lose. Whereas if you walk out of a mediation, you know, I did that. I controlled what that outcome was. I had a say in what happens with my life going forward.
Eugene, let me bring you in at this point. Not every kind of legal dispute can be mediated. I mean, obviously, if somebody has been accused of murder, that's not something you can get around a table and mutually agree on a way forward. But what sort of circumstances does it tend to apply to and work well in?
Yes, thank you. Karen alluded to a couple of prerequisites that's necessary for mediation, and she spoke about the voluntary participation. That is one of the cornerstones of mediation. People need to be brought in voluntarily, so they should not feel coerced or forced by a court in order to do mediation. So in that sense, if you have, for example, a murder trial, it would be impractical. I mean, what would you mediate? You can't mediate a murder trial or a rape or something like that. That would probably go against what is one of the fundamentals of the voluntary participation thereof. So yes, they are in most senses. As a broadly speaking, most of cases that goes or lands up in court could be mediated, because it is expected that a person sitting in front, a presiding officer, should adjudicate that matter. So what happens now in mediation, you just change the presiding officer for a mediator that can sit and facilitate this whole process of negotiation, of restorative justice, to speak to one another, to get better understanding of each other in order to for the parties to resolve their own problem in creative ways, whereas a presiding officer might sit in front and they just pass judgment. They would say, you know what, you're guilty or you're not guilty, or we find in favor of the plaintiff or the defendant. But now with mediation, you can sit around a table and you can become creative in your finding of a resolution to a certain problem. So probably the most common mediations that we do is divorce mediations, divorce settlements, people coming to us for acrimonious, even high conflict divorces. We would sit these people around a table, get them to understand where they come from. Being trauma informed, obviously recognizing all those triggers that might be happening or the past experiences thereof. So most definitely, even in high conflict divorces, we can do, and we do, a lot of mediations. Parenting plans is another one. Care and contact of children that we do. Neighborhood disputes. I've done a couple of sectional titles where people live in a communal area. There's bound to be conflict. If it's dogs barking on the one side or building rubble on the other side or overgrown trees, that we can do as well, especially in sectional titles. Workplace mediation is another one. Instead of going the formal disciplinary route, where mediator could come in a workplace to assist the HR to resolve the matters between members of a group of a team, colleagues. So workplace mediation is also on the app quite a lot.
Fantastic.
Nowadays. Yes.
Just for anybody who's come in late to the conversation, my guests with me in studio are attorneys and mediators, Karen Boerter and Eugene Opperman of Dignified Dispute Resolution, talking to us about the concept of trying mediation instead of rushing to court to litigation. Now, you mentioned the term trauma-informed mediation. Karen, can you explain a little bit more about what that looks like? What is that about?
So I was listening to you talking about the incident at a school on the weekend with the rugby players. That's trauma. The people involved in that, the children and potentially parents or whoever was on the sidelines, have experienced trauma as a result of that event. And what trauma-informed care is really about, it's to understand that we've all experienced trauma to some degree. We acknowledge the role that trauma plays in a person's life and in the way that they make decisions. Because whatever happens to you in your life, it's that the trauma that's associated with that will affect the way that you make decisions. And so through the trauma-informed care and mediation, we try to promote an environment that supports the individuals and the collective well-being of everyone. So for example, there's a dispute that's arisen now at the school, and by understanding the trauma that's arisen and what caused it, because you remember when two people have a dispute, something caused it, and they've probably each had trauma before that that caused that, whatever happened on that day blew up as a result of their previous trauma.
Right.
So trauma-informed care is just that. It's understanding that something that happened previously has caused what's happening today, and helping the parties to then resolve that dispute that's happening today as a result of what happened previously.
I'm fascinated by how you delve into this when somebody comes to you at Dignified Dispute Resolution needing mediation. Traumas are often our most private, deep-seated things that sort of we carry with us and don't always talk about very easily. Karen, do you sort of start every session having to try and get a sense of where the trauma comes from before you even start engaging on the topic at hand?
Yeah, you do need to. So, you know, without understanding the underlying, you know, the principle of an iceberg, that you see only what the tip of the iceberg above the water, that's exactly what mediation is all about. It's about finding out what's below the surface.
Right.
And if you don't know what's below the surface, you can't help people resolve what's above the surface.
Right. It's a fascinating concept, and one which, I mean, Eugene, holds so much potential to stop things getting ugly unnecessarily. So often you hear of, you know, the terrible fighting over a divorce or of a parenting plan that could have been avoided if somebody had just taken the time and the care to try and sort of de-escalate the situation by understanding where those parties are coming from. It's a very specific skill set, isn't it? And I'm interested to know how you acquire it. I mean, you're an attorney as well as a mediator. What did you have to do to become trauma-informed?
Well, in terms of our legislation, mediation at this stage is unregulated.
Okay.
So there's no formal legislation saying that it allows for mediation or mediation training. So there's a couple of institutions that offer mediation trainings, but they
okay.
only give the broad spectrum. It's usually a five-day course that you can do, and they teach you the skills of mediation. But that is only one portion thereof, because you know what, that's good, and that would, in most instances, that would assist you as a mediator. But to become trauma-informed is a little bit different, because then there's a focus shift to the client, and there's not as much the how to resolve the matter at hand traditionally, but how to creatively recognize the trauma that might be significant in the impact that it has on an individual, and their ability to engage into conflict and how to resolve conflict. So the trauma-informed mediator would actually have that skills. They would look for things like behavioral clues, triggers that might pop up. You know what, if you sit in a conversation and somebody just burst out crying, there's a reason for that. It might be anger, it might be an underlying issue or trauma that comes from early childhood, or it might be a hijacking that occurred 2 weeks ago. And something that has been said in a mediation setting might just tick those people off. We find that quite often, and we do delve in our course that we do, we delve quite into it a lot, is the coercive behavior, the coercive and manipulative controlling behavior, economic abuse. Those are all the silent forms of manipulation that you can get specifically in family settings or divorce settings that most people don't know of, because it's not being told, it's not conveyed. So unless you ask the right questions in order to support that client sitting in front of you, you need some form of training, trauma-informed training, to look out for these behavioral clues, these emotional clues, these triggers that might happen or occur.
Mm.
It might be that your husband sitting next to you is just giving you the evil eye, you know what, that look. And it sends shivers down your body, and you don't know what that is. But that is an emotional response to trauma.
Mm.
And unless you're a skilled mediator, you would not know how to pick that up, or not necessarily know how to pick that up and how to deal with that during a mediation session. Because you have to bring the parties together, not isolate them in two cocoons.
Yeah.
You have to bring them together, because they need to work together in order to find a resolution to a problem.
Well, firstly, thank heavens there are people who are being trained in these skills, and you are helping to pass that knowledge on to others, aren't you? Eugene, I believe you've actually got a workshop coming up where you are going to be coaching and teaching in this.
That's correct. Yes, we are offering a in-person training,
okay.
And that would happen on the 5th of April in Strand, in the Helderberg, but
okay.
it would also be available online. So what we're going to do there is teach, and the focus of that would be for mediators, but also for attorneys. Because, you know what, attorneys also work with broken clients, clients that need some kind of resolution and helping and understanding of their trauma. So it's aimed at attorneys, social workers specifically as well, mental health practitioners, as well as their mediators. So what we're going to do with this, it's a full-day course, and it spans from just after 8 in the morning up until 4:30, and it's jam-packed. It is really it's a jam-packed program where we explain what trauma is and how does it affect the individuals, how to with the normal conflict resolution processes, why is it important to adopt that in your mediation process, and how to recognize the signs and the symptoms of trauma, not only in the client sitting in front of you, but also for yourself as a mediator.
Fascinating.
Also for yourself, because you might have vicarious trauma. Of helping other people with the trauma, you could pick up vicarious trauma in yourself.
Goodness.
And that's also, and then we will go through all the trauma-informed strategies and the techniques that we could use and teach those to the people or the attendees to become trauma-informed.
Okay, so if you are interested in signing up for that training, please reach out to either Eugene or Karen. It's Eugene@disputeresolution.org.za or Karen@disputeresolution.org.za. Otherwise, check out the website www.disputeresolution.org.za. You've been listening to attorneys and mediators Karen Boerter and Eugene Opperman. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you so
much. Thank you for having us.